Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to Intelligent Design the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, and on this podcast, we're going to discuss whether claims that Craig Venter created artificial life were correct, or did his team simply engage in intelligently designed plagiarism. In May of 2010, it was widely reported that biotech guru Craig Venter and his team had created artificial life. A BBC News article titled "Artificial Life Breakthrough Announced by Scientists" has a good description of what was really done, stating, quote, how a synthetic cell was created. 1. The scientists decoded the chromosome of an existing bacterial cell using a computer to read each of the letters of the genetic code. 2. They copied this code and chemically constructed a new synthetic chromosome, piecing together blocks of DNA. 3. The team inserted this chromosome into a bacterial cell, which replicated itself. Unquote. To be sure, Venter's work is a technical accomplishment, with the potential to lead to applications in medical, pharmaceutical, and biological research. But did they really create artificial life? The operative phrase above is they copied the code. Venter and his team showed they can successfully identify the code necessary for a living bacterial cell. They sequenced the code and then imported the code into a computer and then outputted it. But we still don't even understand how all parts of a bacterial cell work. As biochemist Russell Doolittle wrote in a Nature paper titled Microbial Genomes Multiply, quote, in each of the completely sequenced genomes so far, there are vast numbers of putative genes for proteins of unknown function. It is precisely this point, the large number of putative genes with no function, that has been the biggest surprise in genome sequencing. In every genome examined so far, at least a quarter of the genes remain hypothetical, in that no function can be ascribed. After such a long history of biochemical and genetic examination, how could there be so much in the way of unknown equipment? Unquote. Learning how to import the right code from a bacterial chromosome into a new bacterial chromosome doesn't mean that we fully understand all aspects of the code or the proteins and structures it encodes. And note also that they had to import the code into a pre-existing bacterial cell. That means that any epigenetic information that exists outside of the DNA itself was borrowed from the bacterial cell that they inserted the chromosome into, not created from scratch. As Elizabeth Panisi's news piece in Science on the research observed, quote, that's a pretty amazing accomplishment, says Anthony Forster, a molecular biologist at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. Still, he and others emphasize that this work did not create a truly synthetic life form because the genome was put into an existing cell, unquote. Even Craig Venter, to his credit, acknowledges, we didn't create life from scratch. I'd say that's an understatement. The Science news piece also observed, quote, so that the assembled genome would be recognizable as synthetic, four of the ordered DNA sequences contain strings of bases that, in code, spell out an email address, the names of many of the people involved in the project, and a few famous quotations, unquote. What happens, however, if these bugs are let loose and then rediscovered in 1,000 years? Will researchers be unjustified in inferring intelligent design when they find the email addresses, names, and famous quotes that are encoded in this genome of this bacterium? Venter's technical paper in Science said, quote, the properties of the cells controlled by the assembled genome are expected to be the same as if the whole cell had been produced synthetically. The DNA software builds its own hardware, unquote. And in this case, they didn't even create the software from scratch. They copied the necessary genetic information from a pre-existing bacterium. So now that intelligent agents have synthesized the DNA-based software necessary for life, another question arises. What, in our experience, is the sole known cause of this software? William Dembski and Jonathan Witt think they have the answer in the book Intelligent Design Uncensored. They write, there remains one and only one type of cause that has shown itself to be able to create functional information like we find in cells, books, and software programs. Intelligent design. It seems to me that rather than creating artificial life, what Venter and his team did was figure out how to plagiarize the intelligent designer's programming. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.